Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
So, great. I mean, how many of you want to be successful? Okay, so for the 25% of us that want to be successful, you know, I assume that everybody at some point in their life has had some kind of hard work, right? You've worked hard to some degree at some point in your life, and we kind of grow up in this culture or this mentality, and having this mentality of, you know, if I don't work hard, I'm not going to get anything. This message this evening, I hope it might just come at the opposite direction to where you're from, and it might just be a completely new wrinkle in your brain, because it's not normal thinking according to what the world says and most of the church says and everyone says. Okay, so, you know, I want you to pay attention, because firstly, I'm not promoting laziness. I'll talk about that just now. But what I want you to see is that supernatural fruitfulness should happen supernaturally, right? The Christian life, we should be able to take a Christian's life and an unbeliever's life, put them next to each other, and there's a big difference. What should that big difference be mainly? Well, as a believer, you're not striving and straining and working as hard as the unbeliever, and you're even getting better results. Now, there's a few people that sound very excited about it. We had the same problem this morning, where only a few people really were keen on experiencing this kind of fruitfulness. But hopefully by the end of the time together, you'll see that this is really God's heart for us. This is what He wants. Okay, the Christian life is the no-sweat life, meaning you shouldn't be sweating it. Okay, now we're not talking about the heat. You know, when we were setting up this morning, and when we packed down this evening, I'm sure it'll be the same story. It was hot, and, you know, we sweated, and it was tough, and some of you might be right now, even though it's a bit cooler today, experiencing a bit of sweat because it's still a bit warm. We're not talking about, that's not a sin. God still loves you if you sweat. But we're talking about striving. We're talking about straining. We're talking about our efforts, our hard efforts to be able to accomplish something. Okay? So now that I got your attention, you've got that, you know, and the thing which I felt the Lord speaking to me about at the end of last year was really that, I mean, you've got that, okay? Hard work, man's effort to achieve, to succeed, to be successful, you've got that. But then in the Christian circles, you've got another element. And I believe in faith and all of that, but you can take faith to the extreme where it becomes the work of faith, and it's not, as Hebrews calls it, the rest of faith. And we need to make sure we're not in the works of faith and we're in the rest of faith. Okay, we'll look at the scripture in a moment. Well, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 4. It's a good scripture to start with. So, Hebrews chapter 4. There's many scriptures in here which are talking about this rest. I'm just going to look at verse 10 for now. It says, "For he that has entered into his rest," Jesus' rest, "has also ceased from his own works." Okay, so it's saying that when we're living in this rest, we're ceasing from our own effort. That's God's heart and desire for you and for me as believers, is that we cease from our own efforts to be successful, to have relationship with God, to be blessed by God, and we just cease from efforts and we're trusting in Him. It's more trust in Him, less trust in self. Okay, now again, it's not a license for laziness. If you're doing relationship with God, then He'll show, you know, if you're doing something you love, you absolutely love it. You'll be working hard, but it won't be striving. It won't be straining. It'll be something that you're passionate about, you enjoy, and you don't mind doing a little bit of extra work. Can you close the door there, please? Thanks. And so you can see what I mean. If you're passionate about something, it's not going to be a strive and a strain. But if you're a square peg in a round hole, put me in an accounting position, and I'm going to be striving, I'm going to be straining, I'm going to be sweating it, I'm not going to be enjoying it. And it's going to be stressful, okay? But you can also do something that you absolutely love and be striving and straining in it. What do I mean by that? Well, you're relying on your own creativity. You're relying on your own great wisdom. You're relying on your marketing ability. You're relying on your connections. You're relying on everything except God. And so when you become successful, all glory to you. Pat on the back. If someone comes to you and says, you know, you're such a success, let me ask you, how did you do it? And you're able to answer them. All glory to you. But God wants to make you successful so that when they come to you and they say, how on earth did you do it? You go, I haven't figured it out yet. All glory to God. He's empowered me. He's led me. He's given me the ability to do what I'm doing. I don't know how it works. If your life, if you can explain it away, it isn't supernatural. If you can explain how you got to where you are, then that's great. Well done. But it's not much glory to God. We need to be living a supernatural life with supernatural results. So, faith can also, as I said, become a work. But faith accomplishes things. But faith needs to be born out of a place of grace for it to be true Bible faith. If, this is one of the biggest things I've learned, if you're feeling pressure in believing for something, it's not God. Whether it's healing, provision, I don't know what, your husband, your wife. If you're feeling pressure in believing for something, it's not God. Why? Because faith is the rest of faith. And so if you're believing God for something, it should be a case of, you know what, I'm on that hammock. Just chilling it out. God's got it covered. Okay? I don't even know where to go because I'm not going according to my notes right now. But if you just think about it, God wants us to live stress-free. Why? He says in 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. I said it last week. Your heart, your soul, it needs to prosper before you prosper truly on the outside. If you're not prospering on the inside, you're not truly going to prosper on the outside. If you start prospering on the outside and you're not prospering on the inside, you're going to crumble. And so we need to be at this place of constant rest. Mark 11:24 says, basically 20 to 24, it speaks about how faith can move mountains. Now, if you're feeling like there's a mountain in front of you, if you're in true faith, it'll be a case of that mountain's gone. And you'll be at rest and you'll be at peace and everything will work. But if it's like I've got to push this thing out the way I'm going to go, you know, I've got to, then it's pressure on you and it's not of God. The work of faith is not, you know, Jesus said it differently. Let's see, I've got the scripture here. John 6:29. Okay, now John 6:29, you might want to look it up with me. You've got the works of faith, which is not what God wants for us. That's my terminology of what I'm putting on it. If faith becomes a work, it's wrong. It should be the rest of faith. But there is a work of faith. Jesus said, John 6:29, amplified version. Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe, adhere to, trust in, rely on, and have faith in the one whom he has sent. King James Version says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. So, true Bible faith is the work of God, and it's resting in the finished work, resting in what Jesus has done for us. And as we saw in Hebrews 4 verse 10, resting is ceasing from our own efforts. So if you're ceasing from relying on your efforts, and you're resting in the finished work, trusting in what Jesus has done for you, not what you're doing for you, then you're in true Bible faith. How do you get there? Let's look at Hebrews again, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore seeing... Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the main thing I want you to see there, it's saying, we run this race with patience, okay? So it's talking about the race of life which we're in, okay? You're not racing against someone, but there's a course which has been set before you, and you've got to take that. Now, what do you focus on? Firstly, it's not the finishing line. Secondly, it's not the grandstands. You're not listening to the critics. You're not listening to what everyone else is saying. You're not even listening to your coach while you're running. Your coach could be your pastor. It's good to listen sometimes. But what I'm saying is that this is saying you focus on the author and finisher of your faith, which is Jesus. What this is saying is that true Bible faith is born out of Jesus. It starts in Christ, and it matures in Christ. It's perfected in Christ. So you want to operate in faith. The just shall live by faith. The justified, the believer, will live by faith. You want to be in that place of moving mountains and seeing things happen. What do? You focus on Jesus and the complete finished work of the cross. Faith is born. And then as you continue to focus on the finished work of the cross, of what Jesus has done for you, faith will be perfected and faith will grow. It's simple. It's a case of just resting and focusing on Jesus. That's it. Okay? It's not about your efforts and your striving and your Bible confession and your fasting and your praying and your whatever. It's about focusing on Jesus. If you need those things to get into a place to focus on Him, awesome, go for it. But we should just be able to rest and go, I'm focusing on Jesus. Then faith comes up. You know, Jesus is grace. Amen? He came full of grace and truth. He is grace personified. So, if we're focused on Jesus and His grace, faith is a natural result. Okay, I explained it like this morning. Often we're starting off here, ground floor. And we're like, okay, I want to build three stories. So we're looking three stories up and we're like, I'm believing for three stories. And then there's this pressure of three stories while we rise up to there, and it works because faith works. But it's become the work of faith. Whereas if it's effortless, we're establishing the foundation, and I'm going to talk about what the foundation is now, but we're establishing the foundation, and then the foundation, which is actually not a concrete block, but it's a root system, because it's alive, as I'm establishing this root system, this foundation in my life, it starts to grow and develop fruit naturally, which means we start to rise up, and we can build and out of an overflow, and you start to have an overflow in your life. Psalm 23 shows us, my cup runs over. We looked at it last week. This is God's heart for you. Your cup runs over. That means no decrease. This is what God wants for us. Okay? The abundant Christ life. Not just forgiveness of sins, which is awesome, but more than that, for us to be able to enjoy life and be a blessing. So, as we establish the foundation, which is a natural thing, it's an organic thing, it will come. We'll start to see fruitfulness in our lives. How many of you want to see more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life, the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, you want to see it in your life, but I'm telling you, you got it already. Kind of a trick question. Well done, man. You knew we were getting there. She's learned quickly. The point is that we realize we've got that inside of us, and we keep just establishing that foundation. I'll talk about that foundation in a moment, and it will start to develop and produce the fruit naturally. You make sure a plant's roots are healthy, and the fruit will be healthy. You don't walk in the vineyards and hear the vineyards travail, grapes, and you're like pushing and planting, and you know, I want more grapes. Yeah, grapes, be producing fruit in your life, because it's the life of Christ in you, flowing through you, which is producing that fruit. So, let's talk about this foundation while we're there. And then I must come back to something else. Isaiah 54. Let's look there quick. Isaiah 54. So, as we establish our lives on the right foundation, you know, Paul said the foundation is Christ. So, I'm not, and he said, no other foundation can any man lay but Christ. So I'm not saying there's a new foundation I give unto you, no. I'm saying that, hey, Jesus is the foundation, but this is what the foundation is in Christ, okay? Isaiah 54, verse 14 says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. In righteousness shalt thou be established. So, you need to be established in righteousness, which is a focus on, it's not about what I do, but it's about what Jesus has done for me. Righteousness is right standing with God, or how we relate to God. Now, you may have come from circles or believe that a righteousness is about right doing. I'm here tonight to give you some awesome news. Righteousness is not about right doing. Righteousness, what produces right doing? Righteousness produces right doing. Right doing is the fruit of righteousness. You get righteousness settled and established in your life, and you're going to have the fruit of right doing. But you've got to realize this righteousness in your life and have it established in your heart. What is it? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus became sin for us, even though he was not sinful, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he became sin. He took on our sin so he could give us his righteousness. That's beautiful. It's saying that I have the righteousness of God because I'm in Christ Jesus. It's saying, 1 John 4 verse 17, everything that's true of Jesus is true of me because I am the righteousness of God. Righteousness is an identity. It's not an action. Once again, it results in action. The fruit of it is action. But as you establish righteousness in your heart and in your life, it will start to produce fruit naturally. So you need to be established in righteousness. What does that mean? That you're not relating to God based on what you do, but you're relating to God based on what he's done for you and who you are in Christ, not who you are in the flesh. If you're relating to God based on what you do right and what you do wrong, then I'm glad I'm not you. Because I used to be there, and it's a difficult Christian life. It's up and down like a yo-yo. But as you're established in righteousness, your emotions become constant. As you're established in righteousness, your relationship with God becomes consistent, and there's no ups and downs. It's a consistency all the way. So you need to be established in righteousness. There's much more to say about that, but we're going to have to move on. The next part of the foundation, which brings the overflow and which brings the fruitfulness that we all desire, the success, is Hebrews 13, verse 9. Hebrews 13, verse 9. King James Version says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Hebrews 13, 9, the Amplified says, "Do not be carried about with diverse and strange teachings, for it is good that the heart be established and strengthened by grace, and not by foods, rules of diet, and ritualistic meals, which bring no benefit of spiritual growth to those who observe them." What this is saying is that the law brings no spiritual benefit to you. Number one, the law will bring you no spiritual benefit. Trying to observe the law will bring you no spiritual benefit. It will not produce spiritual maturity in your life. Okay? Now, if you're a visitor, in your gift bag, you've got a little insert, a little booklet about the law. It explains it in there in much more detail, and so I encourage you to read through that. But it's not about what you do. The law is about do, don't do. It's not about that, okay? What this is saying is that we need to not be established in what we do and what we don't do, because there's no profit therein. What we need to be established in is grace. Grace is Jesus. Grace is what he's done for me and what he's freely giving to me. Grace is, hey, I'm getting much better than I deserve. That's awesome. You need to be established in that. If you're established in that, your heart will be constantly overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude towards God because of the goodness that he's shown you in your life. So we need to have our hearts established in grace. I like what that also says. It says hearts established in grace, meaning your emotions need to be established in grace, not just your head. When your head is established in grace, you'll still not have the fruitfulness necessarily. When your heart's established in grace, you know, Proverbs says that out of the heart come all the issues of life. So if your heart is established in grace, the fruitfulness in your life, the fruit in your life is going to be grace. It's going to be an empowered fruitfulness. You're going to see success. You're going to see things happening. It's going to be God's ability unleashed in your life. But if you're resting in what you can do and trusting in your own efforts, then you're not going to quite get there. Why? As we looked at the scripture, Romans 11 verse 6 last week, it says that it's either grace or it's works. If you're trying to mix the two, it disempowers grace, and God's supernatural ability and power and blessing will not be able to flow in your life. Anything, if you're going according to your effort and you're trying to be successful according to your effort, then any fruitfulness that you get, you can be fruitful like that at the expense of your health and your relationships and your marriage and all sorts of things. But the point is that it's not going to be as good as what God can offer you either. So that's why we need to be established in grace and righteousness and keep Jesus as the focus of our lives, because then the fruitfulness will start to come. And some of you might still be thinking, but it can't be that easy. Stick with me. We're only 20 minutes into the sermon. We'll get there. Okay? Now, sweat, from the beginning, God's been trying to show us and trying to show us that we should be living a no-sweat life. He creates Adam and Eve in the garden, puts them in the garden to tend to the garden, to keep the garden, to look after the garden. But there wasn't any sweat or toil or striving there. It was purely a thing of, here we go, look after this garden, eat from any tree. Except that one, but eat any tree. Okay, so there was this freedom just to go and eat. Okay? Now, I've said this before, but they weren't passive about it. Grace is not passivity. They weren't lying in the garden going, God, feed me. God had said, go and take and eat. So they went and took the food and they ate. Okay? They chewed it. Their bodies digested it. God didn't do that for them. You know, here's a piece of apple, now chew. He didn't do that. He gave them the fruitfulness and they needed to go and take it. Okay? But then Adam and Eve fall, and I'm going to read from Genesis 3 if you want to turn there with me. But then the fall comes in where they disobey God, and now all of a sudden there's a curse involved. And we're going to look at that as you're turning to Genesis 3. I'm going to read from Ezekiel 44, verse 18, which says basically, you know, that the high priest, when he was performing his priestly duties in the temple, in the inner courts, he was not allowed to sweat. He was not allowed to wear anything which would cause him to sweat. Listen to this. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. So God's trying to communicate something about sweat, something about striving. Hey, in the inner courts, there shouldn't be striving. There shouldn't be straining. It should be effortless. Okay? And let's look at when the curse came in. He's been showing us this from the beginning. Genesis 3, 17 to 19. It says, cursed is the ground because of you. So now the ground is cursed because of their sin. Through painful toil, everyone say painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Okay, so now this is the result of the curse. And I know many of us may have experienced painful toil to be able to even just eat. And that's not God. It goes on, it says, it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat your food. Sweat being a result of the curse. Sweat being toil. Sweat being hard work and effort. Okay? So this is what it's talking about. Now Jesus, who comes as our high priest, Jesus comes in as our high priest, and what does he do? He's the Lamb of God that was the perfect sacrifice for us. Okay, what does he do in the garden? Everything he did for us so we wouldn't have to. So the stripes that he bore was for you, so you didn't have to bear stripes so that you could be healed. He shed his blood so that you didn't have to shed your blood, so that you could be forgiven and cleansed and have a new identity, being made righteous. Everything he did for you. He died, and we died with him, we rose with him, identification, all of that. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he also sweated blood. He agonized over what was about to happen so that you shouldn't have to agonize over what you need to do. So that you don't have to sweat it. He sweated so you wouldn't have to. Okay? Our sweat or effort cannot save us, number one. And, Jesus sweated so that we wouldn't have to. He sweated so that we could rest. We could enter into this rest of faith and relax, rest, and receive. But so often, we're trapped in this performance mentality of, I need to, I need to, I need to. If I don't, it won't happen. And so we get stuck in this rhythm of life, which is just burdensome, and we're not just living a carefree life of, not a careless life, a carefree life of, God, I'm focused on you. Thank you. That you give me the wisdom, you give me the creativity, you give me the whatever I need to do. You know, if we're doing it out of relationship with God, it's going to be the no sweat life, where he leads you to the job or what you need to do, and it's a joy. And then in that, you're not having to, you know, if you're working, I said this last week, I think, but if you're working overtime consistently, then you're doing it wrong. It's not from God. Especially if your family is suffering for it. Especially if your health is suffering for it. You know, I've shared the testimony with a couple of people, but I don't really do much in the overtime anymore. I used to. But now I'm a case of, you know what, I can do it in the morning, I'm sure. And even this past week, there was a lot of things to organize and get ready and whatever, and you know, for this weekend, and it was a case of, you know what, I'll do it in the morning. I'm going to sleep now, or I'm going to spend time with my family, or whatever the case is. And we all need to have our priorities in check, and that's not the main message for this evening, but God's heart for us is that we have our priorities in check, and one of them is Him first, seeking Him first, and then it's our family, and it's our this, and yes, we're working, and we're bringing glory to Him in our work, because we're doing it with excellence, because He's an excellent God, and we want Him to bring glory to Him in how we're doing it, but our work is not an idol. It's not something which we're putting first place in our lives, and everything revolves around that. If you're overdoing it, you need to reconsider how you're doing it. Okay? So, we need to be established in grace and in righteousness. Jesus sweated it so you wouldn't have to. And I think that that's really encouraging. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 4 again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So, for we which have believed do enter into rest. So, it's a case of our faith causes us to enter into this rest. Our faith and our trust upon God. God, I'm trusting you for success. It's not in myself. As he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So this is the first part there, that they which believe do enter the rest. Now look with me at Genesis chapter 39. It's been kind of like our theme verse so far for the year. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Speaking of Joseph and how, you know, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. After being sold as a slave, he then, you know, was bought as a slave, and he was a slave in the his master, the Egyptian's household. And this is what God says of him. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous, some translations say prosperous and successful man, and God was with him in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And so his success, his prosperity was because God is with me. How can a slave be prosperous? You know, how can a slave be prosperous? We would kind of think, well, how can that work? The Bible says that he was successful and he was prosperous. Now, that's not talking about necessarily an abundance of wealth and possessions. But look what happened, verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. I mean, how many of us would like that? That the people that are working for us would be, because God's with them, we would be blessed. I mean, imagine your boss loving you because you're at work. And because you're an employee, because he can just see, Joseph's master could see something significant on his life. He could see that something, hey, here is different. He was an ungodly man. He was a heathen, you could say. And yet he sees in Joseph success, and he can identify God is with this guy. And so he promotes him, he entrusts. You know, the Bible goes on to say that the only thing his master cared for was his menu. What am I going to eat today? That's all he cared for. Imagine that type of success, because you've got people working for you that are just successful. Now, I'm not saying that's something to strive for and try and get a hold of. What I am saying is that look at Joseph. He was entrusted with much. He didn't work his way up in a sense of striving, but he worked up from the lowest of low to get to where he was, and it was completely the result of God is with me. You need to know God is with you, and that's why you're successful. Okay? So, I mean, being Vision Sunday, we wanted to communicate that, and this is one of the ways we're communicating it, with this nice lanyard. On it, we put, it says, I am successful and prosperous because Jesus is with me. I am successful and prosperous because Jesus is with me. This is something which we need to get into our hearts and have established in our minds that, you know, because Jesus is with me, because I have a relationship with God, He's going to lead me to the right clients. He's going to give me the creativity that I need. He's going to bring in the business that I need to have. And it's going to be more effortless than anyone can experience. It's going to be supernatural. Not something which I can bring all glory to me, but it's going to be all glory to Him. So He wants you to live the no-sweat life. Amen? Good place to go after this is to Luke chapter 10. You know, this is a scripture which we focused on this time last year. And it's amazing because this is really just what the Lord's been speaking to us again at this time of the year. And it's something which we have to continuously remind ourselves of and refresh ourselves in, because God's heart for us is that we don't have this stress-filled life. We have a stress-free life. Okay? If you want your year to be successful and at the end of the year you're successful, you've experienced fruitfulness, you've experienced increase, or like the last song said, restful increase. If you want that, then it's going to be birthed out of a place of relationship with God, number one, and out of a place of you resting in the finished work of Christ for your success, not just your forgiveness. Okay? So, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Say, also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So, what were the sisters doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Okay, say, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. You need to get this. Who was sitting at Jesus' feet? Both of them to start with. The next verse goes on and it says, but Martha was cumbered or distracted about by much serving. Now, this is a great opportunity for us to be able to say, we value our volunteers and you're awesome. Everyone who put out someone put out your chair for you to sit on. And that's awesome. Martha's make the world go round. That, you know, they're important people. But she was distracted. At that moment, there was something she should have been doing. And it shouldn't have been serving. Now, Jesus had gone on a long walk to get there, so he was hungry, he was tired, and Martha was concerned with his physical needs. But, you know what she missed? She missed what Mary saw. Who was Jesus? Okay, he was the Son of God. He was hungry, probably, because of the long trip and everything. There was an entourage that came with him, and then now, you know, this hostess needed to perform. She needed to be a good hostess and look after the people in her home. But she forgot that Jesus wasn't just the Son of Man, He's the Son of God. Mary, I believe, saw through the flesh and saw God. Martha saw the flesh, and I want to minister to this person because I love them so much, Jesus. So both are good hearts, but Martha was distracted with the serving. Okay, I believe, you know, Mary went on to serve, but we've got to see a lesson in here that firstly, any service needs to be born out of an overflow. You know, we're giving opportunity and saying, hey, you know, help us, get involved and help us get ready for the services and do this and do that. But you know what, if you don't want to, please don't. And we've said it again and again, and we've even lost people in certain areas by saying this. If you're not enjoying it, stop it. And as a result, some areas of service just stop because people don't want to do it because they're not enjoying it. And that's fine, because we'd rather have the person refreshed and hearing the word and part of the family than them burn out and leave because they're disgruntled. So, you know, we would really love you to get involved and to serve, but hey, if there's no overflow in your life, keep sitting at Jesus' feet until there's an overflow. Now, one of the awesome things about serving is that you get to meet and do it with cool people. But that's another story. So, you've got Martha who's distracted, and you've got Mary who's sitting at Jesus' feet, and what is she doing? Hearing his word. Sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. And then Martha is kind of flustered, and she goes to the Lord and she says, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me." So now she's concerned with the serving thing, and she's like trying to get Jesus now to sit on Mary's case. Hey, we need to cook. Okay? And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Say, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So, what did Mary choose? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, not to be distracted with what needs to get done. I believe it was because Martha saw Jesus in the flesh and wanted to minister to his physical need. But Mary knew, hey, if I see God here. Let me ask you a question. There were people in Mary and Martha's home, right? People needed to eat, right? What was the right thing to do? Feed them. If I come to your home, no, I'm joking. When you have guests and they're hungry, you want to feed them. So it wasn't wrong, but what Martha forgot was this is the same Jesus who could multiply fish and bread, a little lunch basket, to feed multitudes. She forgot that. And so she was trying to do something naturally which Jesus could do supernaturally. She could have just taken little scraps from the kitchen and go, "Jesus, you need to do this. I'm sitting at your feet because I want to hear what you have to say." How often did Jesus go to their house? It was only recorded once. Maybe he went a couple times, but you have Jesus in your house. Take what you can. Milk him for all he's got. Sit at his feet and listen. Stop trying to do stuff that he can do far better than you can do. I mean, a lot of us live our lives like that. Jesus is in your life, and you're trying to do something for you and for him, which he can do for both of you better than you can do. Provision. I need to provide for my family. There's a shred of truth there, but there's mostly just confusion, actually, I think. Because if you just look at it, yes, you should do something to provide for your family and allow God an avenue to bless you. But you shouldn't be trusting in you for provision. You should be trusting in Jesus for provision. And we're going to look at that in a moment. If you're trusting in yourself, it'll fail. You know, when we fail to sit at Jesus' feet and draw from him, we end up running in our own steam. That's what Martha was doing. She was running on her own steam, her own wisdom, her own planning, her own creativity, forgetting that the master can actually do this supernaturally, and I can just relax and hear his word. And we need to operate out of a place of rest. When we're investing time and spending it with Jesus, we're never losing out. You might be very busy, and I understand that. But if you're too busy to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, especially on a daily basis, then you're going to end up running on your own steam and not on his empowering. And it's not, you know, if you're investing, it's like the same principle goes into giving. You know, why is it important to give? One of the reasons is we're saying, hey, Jesus, I'm trusting that you're going to make it work. So I'm giving a portion to you for your kingdom and because I love you and because I'm thankful, and so here you go. It's a thing of trust. I know I'm not trusting in the little bit I've got. I'm trusting that you're my supply. So here you go. Here's a portion. The same thing with our time. Okay, Jesus, I'm giving you 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, however long you're doing it. I'm going to give you this time in the morning. I'm going to focus on you. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And I know that as a result, everything's going to work out throughout the day. I'm not going to have to strive and strain. because I'm going to seek you first in the morning. I'm going to seek you first during the day. I'm going to put you first, and I want to hear what you have to say. What was Mary doing? She was sitting, which is resting, and she was hearing the words of Jesus. Why is that important? Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some translations put the message of Christ, the words of Christ. In context, it's talking about the gospel. Grace. The more you sit and you hear Jesus' word, the more faith will be built up in your life, and you will see the supernatural working effortlessly in your life. Because you're doing that one thing which is needful. Sitting at His feet and receiving His word. Okay, so Martha's distracted with much serving, but Jesus said that Mary chose the good thing. And what was that good thing? Sit at His feet and hear His word. Okay, have her faith built up to be able to receive everything. You know, she was focusing on Jesus, who is grace, which would have naturally just caused faith to flow in her life. Isn't that good? Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this is just a little bit about provision, and this will put things into perspective. Remember, we're talking really in essence about, are we trusting in Jesus for our success? Are we trusting in Jesus for our provision? Are we trusting in Jesus for our healing? Are we trusting in Jesus, period, for everything? Or are we trusting in our flesh, in our effort, in our good works, in our intelligence, or whatever the case is? It can't be a mixture of the two. It has to be God first, and God only, really. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Now, if we just pause there for a moment, think about this for a second. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Answer it in the silence of your head so that your neighbor can't hear. Okay? This past week, have you thought about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about what you're going to wear? Has it concerned you? If it's concerned you, then your focus is probably off. I remember just a quick testimony. Years back, when I first went into ministry, my shoes pretty much like had holes in the bottom of them. You know, I needed new shoes. I needed some new clothes and all of that. And I read this and I was like, I'm not going to worry about these things, Lord. You have to. And I think by the end of the month, a friend of mine took me shopping. I had new shoes and clothes and everything. And it wasn't because I looked bad. I didn't even tell anyone. I was like, Lord, you have to sort this out. I'm seeking first your kingdom, doing what you've called me to. Okay, so next verse. Behold, the birds of the air. Now Jesus is speaking. He's saying, don't worry about your life. Now look at the birds. And he's trying to illustrate something for you. By looking at the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, say my heavenly Father, provides for them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you much more valuable than a bird? Yes, you are. Now, I believe Jesus, if he was saying this today, he would have used the rhino as an example, which I like rhinos, I love them. But the point is, you're much more valuable than a rhino. And if he's looking after a rhino, how much more is he going to look after you? How much more is he going to feed you? That's the point. Okay? I have to stop there. Verse 26, behold the birds of the air, they don't sow, nor do they reap. So what it's saying is that, hey, you know, the birds don't sow and reap for provision. If you're trusting and you're sowing and reaping for provision, then you're not trusting in God. Sowing and reaping is good. You should be generous in every occasion that you can be. You should be so blessed that you can be an even greater blessing. But if you're trusting and you're sowing and you're like, Lord, I really am just needing stuff, so I'm just going to sow as much as I can because I need this to come back to me. Hopefully the slot machine is going to work today. Thank you. Yeah, if you're operating with God as a slot machine, what I put in, hopefully I get something out, it's not really the right way to do it. God doesn't provide for you because you're a great sower. There's a place for sowing. That's another story. What I'm trying to show you is that you need to trust that God provides for you because He's your Father, because He's with you, because of relationship with Him. He'll help you. He doesn't come to you now, you're hungry, and He goes, well, Etienne, let's look at your giving record for the past month. Do you qualify for provision this month? You have a lot of lack, I see, but how much have you given? And Etienne just stands up and says, shut up, devil. Because it's the devil speaking in that situation. God won't say something like that. God would say, hey, I've already overpaid your debt. I've already provided more than you need. Okay, let's carry on then. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns. This is one of my favorite. How many of you, how many of us, trust in our saving ability for a rainy day? Now, it's not wrong to save, and it's not wrong to gather into a barn. God's word says that He'll bless our storehouses. If you've got nothing in your storehouse, 100 times zero is zero. But if you're trusting in your ability to save and not in God's ability to provide, you're not looking unto Him as Father. You kind of, Mr. Independent, Miss Independent, Mrs. Independent, whoever you are, I need to do it myself. You know, even when we've made bad financial decisions, we've gone, God, we thank You that it's not about our bad decisions, it's about Your grace. We rely on Your grace, Father. And it always works. Now, I'm not giving you a license to be silly with spending and stuff. What I am saying is trust in your Father. Look, you know, your provision is based on you're His child and He's your daddy. Okay? Okay, going down there a bit. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and is tomorrow cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, I just didn't mention that verse this morning, but I can't help but mention it now, because what it's saying is if you're worried about clothes, then it's a little faith. O you of little faith. Just trust God. Okay? Next verse. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how are we going to be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the heathen, or the unbelievers seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So hey, the unbeliever chases after these things. But your heavenly Father knows you have these needs, which means He'll provide for you. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not given to you or rewarded unto you. All your needs met are not rewarded unto you by God because you're seeking Him. It's added unto you. It's an addition. It's given to you. It's blessed towards you. You don't deserve it, but you get it. How do you get it? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Be established in the fact that Jesus is your righteousness. Put Him first in your life. How do you put Him first? Make sure He's your all in all. That your relationship with Him is the best thing going for you. That you're trusting and relying on Him for your provision and your success and everything else in your life. And then you're going to start to see a supernatural flow kick in, which is going to cause prosperity, cause favor, cause fruitfulness, bring your healing and all that type of stuff. When you give up, you let go, and you allow God just to do it. I think that's much more exciting than 10 steps to making your year successful. Wake up early. Read a book every month. Know the right people. You know, you don't need that. You just need to know God and have relationship with Him. Allow Him to lead you and Him to guide you. Him to show you what business you should do. Him to show you how you should do that. Him to show you which people to call on for clients and things like that. Which ones not to call on, etc. We need to learn to trust in God more and more and more. Put Him first and He'll take care of it. Now you can run flat out and go, 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 go and make your year a success, and by your standards it would be a success. But for me, as for me and my house, we're going to rest and allow the increase to come from that place of resting. And what we mean by resting is not just taking that physical rest and that mental rest and taking that time out, but also ceasing from our efforts to be successful and going, God, you're going to make it successful. Yes, what should I do? Because you work through me. But I'm trusting in you that you're going to make it successful. Amen? And so I thank you, Father, that this is our year of supernatural rest, where we're going to learn to rest supernaturally, and it's going to carry us through the rest of our lives as we focus on these truths and how grace and righteousness empower us to live the abundant life in Christ. I thank you that each one of us, as we sit at your feet and hear your word, do relationship with you and focus on you, and we allow faith to rise up in our hearts, we're going to see supernatural results. Thank you, Father, that this is the key for healing. This is the key for prosperity. This is the key for us to experience fruitfulness in every area of our lives, to focus on you as our source, and as a result, to allow that supernatural flow just to kick in, because we're fully trusting in you and not in ourselves. We right now just choose to focus our attention on you and look unto you, the author and perfecter of our faith, the source of all of our provision. And Jesus, we just thank you that in you we can be super successful, super fruitful, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, by you in us and you through us. I just sense on my heart that there's a number of you who have just, you realize that you've been overdoing it and you're running at a pace which you all of a sudden realize you can't stop. Your legs are going so fast. And you kind of are even thinking, if I stop, I don't know how, I'm just going to fall over. And you're kind of like, if I don't keep going, then things are going to stop. They're going to fall apart. And I feel the Lord's just saying to you, you need to stop. If that's you, you really need to take a break and just sit at his feet and hear his word and trust in him. Trust that God's able, if he's in your life, if he's in your business, if he's in your studies, that he's going to be able to cause you to be a success. Once again, we're not calling you to be lazy and telling you to go and sit on the couch and wait for him to throw money at you or something. But what we are saying is you just learn to trust in him fully and rely on him and not on your efforts and your success. Father, I thank you that you've done it all for us. It is finished. All we need to do is trust in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're just with your eyes closed, if you're here this evening and you've never received Jesus, you've never entered into that relationship, then that's the first step that you need to take to be able to be successful in life and to be able to know what God's got for you and to be able to live the abundant Christ life and experience love, joy, peace, and all of that in increasing measure. And if you've never made that decision for yourself to be a child of God, to receive Christ and be born again, then I want to give you an opportunity to do so. And all we're going to do is ask you just to raise your hand now, and someone's going to pray with you later. They'll come and chat to you later. So only the leaders are really looking from the back. So if you're seated here and you're saying, I want to receive Christ, I just want to encourage you, raise your hand quickly and I'll acknowledge it. Is there anybody here? Going once, going twice. The next thing I want to give you an opportunity for is I really just believe that there's individuals here where you realize you've been relying on your own steam, you've been relying on your own efforts, you haven't been sitting at Jesus' feet like you should have and hearing his word and allowing him to cause you to be successful. You've been trying to make yourself a success. And if that's you and you're saying, hey, I want to be successful, I want to see supernatural increase this year and fruitfulness this year, but I want to do it from a place of rest, then just as a way of responding, I want to encourage you just to stand up right where you are, and I'm going to pray for us. Just as you're standing, keep your eyes closed and just focus on the Father for a moment. As I read that scripture from Matthew 6, it says that He is your Father, He knows your needs, and He wants to look after you. So just focus on your Father for a moment now and just chat to Him. Tell Him, this is what my desire is. This is what I want to see happening in my life, or my business, or in my studies, or whatever the case is. And ask Him to give you His vision for your life. Father, I thank You that You're speaking to each person's heart that is standing and just revealing Your heart's desire for them, to them. Thank You, Father. I really just believe if you're standing, I've given very little time for you to hear from God, and God started speaking to you, but I just feel Him saying He's not finished talking to you. So you need to give Him more time. Just go sit at His feet, just for a little bit of time this evening or tomorrow morning. Make a date with Him, sit with Him, hear His word, dig into the scripture, read something, and then just be still and allow Him to speak to you. God wants to say something to you. He wants to give you fresh vision for your business, for your life, for this year. He wants to give you divine strategy, which is God-given strategy. You don't have to figure it out on your own. He wants to lead you. He's the good shepherd who wants to lead you in the right direction. You don't have to trust in your own wisdom. He wants to give you the wisdom that you need to advance your life and your business. And Father, I thank You that from this evening, we're going to have such good testimonies, even this week, that people's lives are going to be radically changed from now, from here right now, and that they're going to start to see supernatural increase in Jesus' name. I also believe that there's a number of you this evening, you haven't been resting. You have been striving and all of that. And you've been saying, you know, I'm trusting God. But you're also in a place of just sweating it. You're not even taking time out in the week just to relax, you know, that Sabbath day, not to impose law, but you know what I mean. I just want to encourage you with the saying, you know, God calls those who won't work lazy, and the Bible calls those who won't rest disobedient. And so, you know, you need to rest because it's good for you. You need to take time out to be refreshed, to be able to spend time with your loved ones and time just with yourself and time doing things that you need to do, but time out of your regular work schedule just to be able to be refreshed. And Father, I thank You that as You're speaking to people's hearts about this specifically, you're going to help them and show them how they can schedule time in to be able to rest and be refreshed, especially with regard to seeking You first and Your kingdom, Your righteousness, so that we can see things added unto us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I just feel in my heart that there's an individual here. You've really been trusting God for a specific breakthrough. And it kind of feels like it's just about to happen, just about to happen. It's just about to happen. And God's just saying, just relax right now. Give it to Him. Stop stressing about that breakthrough with regard to your business specifically. And just turn your attention onto Him. And you're going to see the breakthrough happen more effortlessly than you ever expected. But just put first things first. Focus on Him. Not to get something, but focus on Him to grow in relationship with Him.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.